KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I love to talk with Congressman Steve Pierce. He's served our state just in amazing ways as a congressman for 14 years, 2 7-year terms, and did a great job representing New Mexico. And now he's with the Republican Party of the state of New Mexico. And now we are with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, I know you just got back on vacation, so I've got to make fun of you, though, my friend, because I'm seeing these beautiful pictures of you in Yellowstone, but I'm seeing that there's like tweets and blog posts and all kinds of things, and I'm thinking, are you walking down a trail blogging at the same time you're with your family?
The answer to that is no. It is true that I
did a few blog posts while I was waiting for certain young children to get ready to go and eat and do all those kinds of things when you're traveling with kids, and I have three of them. It takes them a little time to get moving in the morning, so to speak. But a lot of Yellowstone doesn't really have much cell phone service, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So kept it pretty limited to a few opportunities here and there. It was a great trip. We traveled up through the Four Corners of New Mexico and then through Salt Lake City. We stayed in Provo, Utah on our way up. And Utah's relatively free in terms of the coronavirus, both the policies and lack of the virus. One of the highlights when you're traveling with kids, and I know you have them, is to have a swimming pool on the evening of your long drives. And that was something that we were very grateful for. Each of the places we stayed on our trip had swimming pools open and available for the family to go enjoy. It's something I don't think they have in New Mexico, as it's limited to lap pools, but we stayed in Provo, Utah, and then made it to Yellowstone, traveling through Idaho and into Montana. The next day, spent our time going between friends' house in Montana, heading into the park, which is mostly in Wyoming. Beautiful, you know, first time there, bison, grizzly bears, black bears, all kinds of interesting geological formations, waterfalls, the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone, what gave Yellowstone its name, Old Faithful, of course, and you know, the crowds were significant, but my friend told me, who lives there, about 75% of normal, so not nearly as bad as it often is in Yellowstone, traffic jams and that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm glad you got some. It was refreshing, and your kids had a lot of fun. I hope your wife was also relieved because you didn't have her isolated at home just taking care of the kids by herself.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not doing too many business trips. Most of my conferences have been canceled. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, you know, and as a serious thing, you know, reading some of the stories and the impacts I think this is going to have on young people, children. It was very gratifying to be able to take them out of state, get them into, you know, a fun, memorable environment that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. You've seen a lot of news stories about young people having real mental and social issues with this whole situation. And yeah, the governor announced halfway through our trip that we were having to 14-day quarantine, this, that, and the other. But, you know, all I can say is take everything the governor says with a grain of salt, unfortunately.
Well, and the other thing, Paul, is that you just mentioned national parks in Wyoming and beauty of Salt Lake City. You're not allowed to come out of state into New Mexico to our national parks because
right.
of the restrictions imposed by her health orders.
Well, I don't know about the actual rules on national parks, state parks for sure. But regardless, you are in New Mexico if you come to, say, Carlsbad Caverns from Texas or any other state, and you're supposed to 14-day quarantine on your way in and on your way out. It just to actually do that would be completely prohibitive for most people. So what the governor's doing is being unreasonable to the point that we are forced to break the law in many situations. And that's not a very healthy situation for our economy, our society. You know, respect for the law is something that we all want to have and have, but it's just, you know, it's just crazy what's going on. I never thought, you know, I battled on limited government issues basically my entire adult life, and to see what's going on now so quickly, where government isn't just a thing that maybe has bad economic policies or doesn't have a great education policy, to see the day-to-day frustration with businesses, and I know we'll talk about some of these things, but the way it's a heavy hand is weighing upon all of us on a day-to-day basis. I joke to people, but it's not really a joke. Going to Yellowstone reminded me, or seemed to me, like stories I've heard of people escaping from behind the Berlin Wall in the old, Soviet Union days. And then going home felt like going willingly back behind the Berlin Wall to, experience that kind of socialism and, control of our day-to-day lives. It was a very different environment in all those states. And so it was Utah, Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. Colorado's had a worse situation overall with the coronavirus than we have. But even Colorado, the hotel swimming pool was open. Mass, Catholic mass was much more, quote, normal. And local governments had a lot more empowerment to change the way they did things. We happened to be there for the 4th of July, so we missed out on the Baghdad on the Rio Grande celebrations around here. I understand that the gunpowder in China's supply is probably on the decline now due to the fireworks displays that happened around Albuquerque, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with people and fireworks. I mean, I've always enjoyed fireworks, but frankly, I'm not going out of my way. You know, when we've had bans because of the fire danger and some other things, it doesn't concern me. I like it, but there are folks that just absolutely have to have fireworks, and no matter what, you are going to see fireworks going off, especially in Albuquerque.
Yeah, no doubt. And, the silliness to me of canceling the fireworks display that they normally have at Balloon Fiesta Park. If there's an activity that you can socially distance successfully with and enjoy, it is fireworks. I'm not a big fan of loud noises. I'm glad that I was not here, because both myself and my dogs would have been not happy on 4th of July. But to then spend $100,000 of our tax dollars in a very difficult financial situation, which the city faces, to do 4 displays around the city, it makes no sense. It quite frankly doesn't make a lot of sense for me to, for people to literally, it's basically lighting their money on fire. There's a middle situation with pretty lights and a boom, but you're literally lighting your money on fire. There's obviously other displays you can go to if you enjoy fireworks. But why spend that extra money? Why cancel that normal situation where people can go, whether it's on the grass there and socially distance, or neighboring parks where you can easily see the fireworks? I mean, I live on the west side over near St. Pius High School off of course. I can go outside my front door and have a pretty darn good view of the fireworks right there at Balloon Fiesta Park. So it seems odd that that was considered an unsafe activity by the powers that be.
And in speaking with Steve Pierce in our first half hour, he indicated that there's not a lot of communication coming out of the governor's office. And so I want to go to maybe some, you're frequently looking at other states and what they're doing and trying to absorb best practices and not just complain about situations, but make constructive suggestions as to how to fix things, which is why I appreciate what the Rio Grande Foundation does so much. Paul, before we take a break, tell us a little bit about the Rio Grande Foundation and why people need to be part of that and get information and educate themselves about what's going on.
Yeah, the Rio Grande Foundation is an economic policy research think tank, riograndefoundation.org. We also do some blogging at errorsofenchantment.com. And we work right here in New Mexico on New Mexico issues, whether it's the state or the local governments and how they are doing, K-12 education's obviously in flux. The situation with the coronavirus is a big part of what we're doing right now, because our economy's on lockdown. Our economy cannot recover until we get out from under these regulations and restrictions. But normally we do most of our work on broad-based economic policy in the legislature. Right now, the governor has all the cards. She has all the power. And unfortunately, that is part of the problem that we need to get beyond one-person rule in New Mexico. We need to restore checks and balances in our state, and that has to happen very quickly.
When we come back after this break, we're going to talk a little bit about where New Mexico stands. I know you've got some data from the New York Times and other mm-hmm. places, so we'll be right back with Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Stay with us.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8555.
Dave Slade is a familiar voice on KNKT and Star 88, talking about his business. But Dave is also a successful author, and recently he appeared as a guest with Eric Metaxas.
I'm Eric Metaxas. Today I have as my guest David Slade, who's the author of a book called The Christ Virus.
This was a huge platform for Dave to discuss how his book, The Christ Virus, resonates with the COVID crisis.
If you've got the virus, you won't be able to go into public places. And yet the idea that you predict this kind of a thing in your book is kind of extraordinary, because I can see all of this playing out now in a way that I couldn't quite a few years ago.
Well, there's a lot of things in the book that were implausible back when it was written.
This weekend, KNKT will present an hour-long special featuring Dave Slade on the Eric Metaxas Show, and deep background on the Christ Virus when Dave spoke with Jim Williams on ABQ Connect. Listen for the Dave Slade Christ Virus special this Saturday at 8 a.m. on KNKT, and an encore presentation on Star 88 this Sunday at 5 p.m.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaña, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, in studio with me this afternoon. Paul, thanks for coming over here so quick. I send you an email and you say, yep, I'll be there. That's
well,
how quick you respond.
You know, I don't get many dates these days because it's, you know, people aren't meeting as much in public. Although things are starting to shake loose a little bit in terms of getting some public meetings together. Again, often off the radar screen, away from our governor's eyes, but people are not just sitting waiting in their houses for something to change. They're actually getting out there and actively doing what they want to do with their lives.
I want to frame one more time for our listeners. I am really not interested in just complaining mm-hmm. about the governor or anything else going on with New Mexico. I want there to be an ongoing dialogue. So all we've really tried to do on this program is encourage, hey, this is ABQ Connect. Well, we want New Mexico connected. We want everybody to talk. We want transparency in government mm-hmm. like you are always espousing. We feel like that has a biblical precedent, mm-hmm. and we also feel like it's better for us to all have a voice and talk together, and there's just different things, and you see best practices all the time. Tell us, I know you recently posted some information, some data on COVID-19 and where New Mexico stands in the crisis. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's always a contrast between opening and reducing the spread of the virus. Tell us where we stand.
Well, that's a very good question. It's a broad thing, to discuss where we stand. But what we've looked at all along is that what we want to avoid as much as possible in this situation is people dying. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not impacts potentially long term with COVID-19. There's all kinds of questions about whether and how profound those impacts are. We have seen more younger people recently picking up the virus. Those are people that generally should survive, et cetera. But we wanted to actually look not just at New Mexico as a state, but get beyond the state borders, because one of our consistent criticisms of the governor from day one was the one size fits all situation. Whether it's the restaurants being said one size fits all for them. Now, she's obviously picked and chosen various industries, and I think that's unfortunate. But also on a county by county basis, I counted it up. There's 11 counties in New Mexico that have not had a single death from COVID-19 over the 4+ months that we've been talking about it. These are not all, you know, there's a lot of counties that are pretty sparsely populated, but we're talking a third of New Mexico's 33 counties. I'll give you a small listing of some of the ones that folks may be aware of. Lincoln County, of course, that's Ruidoso, in that beautiful area of our state. Lee County, down in the far southeast corner, that is Hobbs and a few other towns. Sierra County, TRC, and that kind of general area. Grant County, which is Silver City. You could drive from west to east or north to south in our state and not go into a single county that's had a COVID-19 death. Now, that's not to say that this isn't a serious issue. What we're saying is we should treat counties that have had major breakouts, major problems, including McKinley, San Juan, Cibola, those are the big three, differently from how we treat businesses and counties where they haven't had a single death from COVID-19. The governor famously said, well, semi-famously, at least here in New Mexico, that having different policies based on different regions is like having a peeing section in the swimming pool. And that's her crass language, not mine. And, you know, I just say after 4 months, if you had that kind of even spread, then we should have seen it by now. We should have people. Los Alamos County is another one. I'm sorry. Los Alamos is so small. It's that really tiny county up there. Mm-hmm. Mostly just the city. Well, it is a joint government up there in Los Alamos. But Los Alamos is a place that people are often familiar with here and certainly know the presence of and know what happens there to an extent. They've also not had a single death from the coronavirus. So we should not be treating every county the same. But that's exactly what is happening. And, you know, a lot of restaurants, especially in southeast New Mexico, really spoke up hard about it, publicly defying the governor's order. Many of those have backed down from that because of some aggressive fines imposed by the governor. But she does all of this at her own peril, because right now there are almost no repercussions or ways to address this issue. We know the legislature's not going to stand up to her. We know that there's very limited options for individuals or concerned groups to say anything or do anything about what she's doing. But I think that as time goes on, her tactics are going to be increasingly unpopular. And, you know, of course, November's an election. All 112 legislators are up, and she'll eventually have to stand for election as well. But it's a very frustrating situation to not have the typical democratic processes, the checks and balances in place really at all here in New Mexico.
I want to ask you about the APS plan. That was just announced in the journal, and they came out, and you've already blogged about it in Errors of Enchantment. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think about that plan.
Well, for starters, and I knew this from the get-go when mass full day were going to be discussed, and I said there's no way I will subject my children to that. I do have three kids, two of whom are or were in APS, traditional public school. And I think homeschooling is going to catch on like wildfire. So that's a real interesting opportunity for a lot of people politically and culturally to see how that shift takes place. But, you know, I don't know that anybody would be surprised at this point by the way things have developed with APS. And APS is not really different from a lot of school districts. Basically, until after Labor Day, the theory is everything is going to be online. Remember, Jim, I'm on the board of a virtual charter school. I think virtual can be right for a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, what we need to be doing is freeing up those education dollars so that they follow the students, so that homeschooling families, and there are going to be a lot of them, but also the kids who are in the virtual school, you know, they may not have a parent who can stay home and help the kids. You think some kid is just going to sit behind a computer for 6-7 hours a day and competently manage that entire educational experience? That is the furthest thing from the truth, and this is a real burden, even assuming the provision of laptops and web connections and internet and all that. All of those other aspects to this, it is going to be very, very challenging and stressful for families across our state. I'm blessed. My family can handle this. We're going to not just survive, we're going to thrive. But that is not the case for single parents, for people who work weird hours and odd jobs, especially, you know, imagine medical professionals right now. They're in that same group, and if now their kids are going to be struggling or behind a very different situation because of this. I'm not saying that APS has an easy solution here. The fireworks, that's an easy solution. What APS is doing is very difficult. I think the one aspect of it that I do applaud them on is they are sending kids to school when they do start, assuming they do start, on a last name basis. So they're, in theory, grouping last name kids on the same day. Because the last thing you want to do is have kids of different ages in the same family having to go, you know, 4 days a week, different school days. At least this way you can organize childcare. But that's assuming we get started in something resembling a normal situation after Labor Day. I think that is very much in doubt. Essentially, APS is trying to just put a pause on things and move forward. Remember, these are kids who already have lost 2.5 months of schooling from last year. They're really going to catch up and review everything that they missed from last year. It's just, I feel for the kids in our community, not just for the social opportunities they missed, the events like graduations and the various activities with their friends in many families that are stricter than my own. All of these challenges, it is, we're really, you know, they talk about a lost generation a lot, and sometimes it's overwrought, overblown. But boy, this generation of kids, it's tough stuff out there. And, you know, I don't blame APS, but I wish we had more solutions, more innovative solutions. And I do think parents should be funded. The kids should be funded, not the bureaucracies.
Paul, I have a number of friends of mine that are administrators in the Albuquerque Public Schools. And the one caveat they keep lending to all of this is we still haven't heard from the governor. We're not hearing from the governor on a daily or a weekly basis about changes she could be making. So they seem like they're making plans separately, and the governor could interrupt anything that they've spent a lot of time and a lot of thought on. And I don't think that's the way it should be run. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, the governor named a task force of something, I don't know, it's like 50 or so people, mostly friendly folks with her politically, who came up with originally a set of ideas that was released a few, like a week before 4th of July. Things are obviously very fluid, but it would be great if the governor put together a roadmap. You know, remember those old choose your own adventure books? I hate to say it, but we're kind of living in a choose your own adventure book. If she can say, well, if the data are this way by X date, then we'll do this. If the data are this way by this date, then we'll do that. And you can plan that there's going to be a binary or some other way of choosing or preparing for the future. But it's not just obviously the school districts. It's all businesses in the state. You know, you had to think, well, any business could come down with less of a, less freedom than they had before, based on the governor's rhetoric. But why restaurants in particular? Why not gyms, or why not some other group of business that would be punished? And literally, she didn't say the virus is spreading at these restaurants. She said, basically, New Mexicans aren't complying with my mandates. We're going to punish the restaurants. That was essentially a verbatim line from her last press conference. And that's one of many frustrations. Partially, you know, that is what you get in one person rule. The leader wakes up on a wrong side of the bed one day, and suddenly you've got a whole different raft of political dictates to deal with. At least the legislative process, you can go say your piece in Santa Fe. You can track what's happening. You know it's going to take effect on X, Y, and Z date, and there's plenty of time to play with that. And you know adhere to those standards. We are not living in that situation. This is not the way government was supposed to work. And I really think that from a conservative perspective, candidates need to run on first and foremost, we need to restore checks and balances even during emergency. Maybe you give the governor 30 days to get a grasp on the problem, but you can't have this indefinite, I need 6 months, I need 8 months, I need a year. However, how long is it going to be before we even have that restoration of checks and balances? The legislature will meet at some point, but the governor could still be in charge of most policies after the legislative session concludes in late March of 2021. I just don't know. We don't have a roadmap. We don't understand where this is all going.
Paul, we've got about a minute and a half left, so I don't know if you can answer this question in that amount of time, but you blogged about fake news in regard to pre-K that appeared in the Albuquerque Journal attributed to the governor.
Yeah, well, the governor claimed that the state had cut pre-K funding. This is a big goal of the governor and many on the left to create new statewide mandates for pre-K. Of course, they can't even fulfill the K-12, so I don't get why we're even talking about pre-K. But she said that there had been funding cuts. Well, I went back and looked. The chart that we posted over in Heirs of Enchantment clearly indicates that over the last decade, pre-K spending in New Mexico grew every single year since 2012. So it's, I don't know. Sometimes it's research, sometimes it's just fact-checking the politicians.
Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. You can find out more information at riograndefoundation.org. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here. See you soon.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.